routine. You set up the routine, you stick to the routine. And so we've learned, or should be learning, that this is what we need to do in a world that is as uncertain and chaotic as we have right now. Stick to the routine, find the things that work for you, and stick to that. Cats of the conference. It's not just school subjects. Very important lesson. One of the things that we learned during the pandemic is that the impact of schools goes beyond schools. The impact of academics goes beyond academics, and it works both ways. What happens outside the academic environment enters into the academic environment. Things that we wouldn't have asked about before, like someone's home bandwidth, or you know, whether people are living eight people in a house. Well, you know, just wasn't a problem for universities in the past. Now it's a problem. And as well, you know, we look at, you know, in health, we suddenly realized we had to look after in-home workers, self-employed workers. You know, some of the biggest victims of the pandemic were people living in retirement homes, which was, in this country, a disgrace. These are all people that matter in society. And I think that any of our institutions that are ignoring them aren't fulfilling their responsibility to society. And this is a lesson learned not simply by the healthcare system, but by all national infrastructure in a society, including the educational system. What are the challenges? By challenges, I mean problems. just kidding. All right, first challenge is motivation, right? Motivation for ourselves, motivation for our students. Now, this varies depending on you know, who we are and who our students are. It matters, you know, it's much more of a factor with primary school children than it is with doctoral students, obviously. But you know, even when I was a doctoral student, I had days, I had months when motivation was a problem. So it happens to everyone. And one of the things you learn really early when you're working online is you can't force people to do things. You can't. They will simply log off. Or worse, they will stay and become a troll. So that changes your power dynamic dramatically. It changes your power. It changes your outlook on life. It changes your theories of learning. This is one of these things, you know, it's not obvious at first. It only becomes obvious, and I think people spend a lot of time fighting it. How do I motivate my students, right? And I've always thought of as motivation is trying to get people to do something that they don't want to do. And I think that the best and most direct way of addressing motivation is have people do what they want to do. That means changing the power dynamic. That means changing the relation between teacher and student, where the student is there because they want to be. Now, that's really hard to do in a system of compulsory education, right? But that's the challenge. That's why it's in the challenge section. Making it easy for them to do the right thing is also important. That is dead on, absolutely right, and really crucial. So we come back to the democratic manufacturing for the 3D printer project, and look what they did. Giving students independence and confidence in their skills, and then they adapted, they made it easier for them to manage themselves by creating a video induction series. Second challenge, people have diverse needs. So much of education is designed for the mainstream. We've learned that this creates built-in systematic discrimination. And we need to take the attitude or the approach that everyone has special needs. Pamela Henderson is indirectly addressing this, but I think she is addressing this when she says something like this. Materials need to be more visually appealing than the ones we might use in the classroom. And then there's a lot of software that can be used to enhance the presentation of documents. 5 minutes to go, gotcha. I agree. That's why I spend more time on my slides than I do thinking about them. No, that's not true. I spend more time thinking about the presentation, but I do spend time thinking about the design of these slides and what the presentation is going to look like, how I'm going to set it up with different things to make it more interesting and more engaging. And then I go back to just presenting full PowerPoint slides. More likely, there's a point where we make it hard to. Yes, that's true. People have diverse needs. And the flip side of that is inequities harm learning. Again, duh. But, it's something that really people weren't acknowledging until the pandemic hit. School, and this is a really interesting lesson, school mitigated some of the worst inequities, at least in this country. In other countries, not so much. But in this country, you go to school, you'd get your vaccines at school, you get food at school, you'd get reading material at school, access to computers, access to the internet, and the list goes on. Sports, sociality. All of that disappeared when we went online. And even worse, the people who were in need disappeared first. Now, we know how to solve these problems. What we need is the will to solve it. We need to spend the money on things like community broadband, open educational resources, personal support services, etc. And we need to think about how we are addressing inequities in our learning. This is from P.L. Thomas, something that I ran in my newsletter. Moving from this attitude where we say all students must to each student deserves. And this shift is really important because you can't empower people. You can't give them, autonomy and responsibility by saying they must do something, no matter how well-intentioned the must is. In that vein, Alt-C, the other Alt-C, came up with this definition of ethics in distance or remote learning, awareness, professionalism, care, and community and values. Now, I don't have time to look at that in detail. I will look at that in more detail. I'm doing a course on ethics, analytics, and the duty of care later on. But look at this and ask yourself, does this promote that? Is this the tool that will promote the redress of inequities in learning? So, finally, how to improve. We need to learn how to learn. How many teachers say, well, I can't learn the new technology, I need a class? I've done sessions on how you can take personal professional development into your own hands. Why? Because you have to. There are so many people where if nobody's there to teach them, they don't try to learn. This is something we need to change. And change, I don't mean in other people. I mean in ourselves, right? Learning should be something that we're doing on an ongoing basis every day and not waiting for someone to give us a class. And when you do this, you become more successful. And as we move online, people become more successful at being able to learn for themselves. This is, again, the way the new technology changes the affordances and changes the outcomes. And Pam Henderson talked about, VideoScribe. I've never heard of VideoScribe, so here I am learning something as I'm doing this presentation. The other thing we need to do is employ a range of strategies. There's no one answer. There's no one thing that will work for everyone. So we need to develop what has been called hybrid learning. But the other thing is, don't try to do it all at once. It would be impossible for me to do this presentation with a group of people in the room and all of you and treat all of you fairly and equitably. Someone's going to get ignored. So, and that's a lesson that hasn't been learned yet by our political leaders. And think of it as, you know, I mean, think of it as a kit bag. Think of it as, you know, a bunch of things we can pull off the shelf. They're not just tools. They will change what you're saying. The medium really is the message, but, you know, different strategies for different situations. And then finally, and I won't talk much about this because A, there isn't time, and B, there isn't time, assessment needs to be more flexible. We've seen the dysfunctionality of traditional testing. We've seen during the pandemic some of the issues with surveillance and surveillance culture. We need a mechanism of going, of circumventing the whole concept of assessment and being able to use our work itself as the assessment method. Maybe I'll call that content-based assessment. I don't know. Anyhow, that's the talk. I hope you enjoyed it. I am 1 minute late. I'm sorry. And I really appreciated the comments. They slowed me down, but I think they made for a better presentation. Thank you.